Okay, now we're back and we're going to discuss this, the intricacies in this short-term range daily chart, which is the volume oscillator at the bottom. The big T, that's the center of attraction, does have a double bottom in the BC case. A is the is at the point of the peak in the blue volume oscillator, with the line coming up saying shock. There's an A there, but it's difficult to see. And we have applied the same general theory to this T that is now quite visible in the earlier discussion. And as far as we know, that May 20th is the date. We know that this is an error. They usually come up early. The actual top is a little bit earlier. Thursday is May 20th, so it's been counted out in the spreadsheet by a number of people, and we don't have any problems with the estimation. I'd just like to point out to you some of the similarities between the theoretical analysis up in that in the earlier big chart for the 07 to 09 history, and that is that in this chart, May 20th is the projected top date. However, you can make a conservative construction by going from A to B, not splitting the bottom B to C. And if you do that, as the upper chart shows you, the way to find out where the conservative top date is, you don't have to actually draw another T with a center post at B. You just have to know that the distance between B and C is about a month. And therefore, the conservative construction is May 20th minus 1 month, which is April 20th. So if you go back and you say, I was conservative about this T and I sold everything on May 20th because I didn't want to get too close to the end of the date, so I took a conservative bet, you come out correct. You have to check these things out to see whether that was true. Now you're going to have the problem is May 20th, is this market going to turn up and pop the market up real good to May 20th? And you say, well, we don't know until we get there. The problem really is that when you get into a situation like this, it sort of depends on factors which you're never really going to be able to figure out from these charts. The chart basically is a mess because you've got, due to high frequency trading and so forth, you've got this jagged downside run in the volume oscillator, which does not really show up in the advanced decline line. You have a rally that can't reach up very far, then you pull back for 2 days, and then if you click on the chart, you'll get a clearer chart. But if you go down to the PDF chart, you'll see that the last Friday the 14th, that the arms ratio was that 3 point, was at the 3.0 level, which in the past has always produced a rally. So it's sort of climactic behavior. The problem that you have with these high numbers is that when you go back and you study periods of history where people were very, very concerned about stocks and they were very nervous about stocks, rising arms ratios, which would normally indicate that you're in a bottom, are not sufficiently high to overcome people's uncertainty. And the danger is you think that's going to produce something big on the upside. Now, the 3.0 could give you a rally because it's pulled back for 2 days, and you could get a rising bottoms pattern if you turn up like Monday, Tuesday, and you could come up to the what we call the eye of the hurricane or the zero line and get something, it's more or less as an oversold condition has been relieved. Then you can get the shock on the downside as you continue in. That whole scenario plays out according to the model that I gave you before. The top date is the 20th. The conservative date goes back 1 month because that's the spacing between B and C to April 20th, and once you get past the May 20th date, the market should enter a continuous decline into May 20th plus 1 month, which is the 20th of June. So the real question you have here is that the problem is really, if you look at just the green advanced decline line, you see you had a decline, then you had a couple days up, then you pulled back. What happens if you just get a little couple days up, kind of modestly, and then it rolls over. Well, that's a topping pattern where you had a 50% retracement, and now you're going over. That's basically what it turns out to be. That's what the problem is. It's just rolling top on the top because you've got this momentum period. And that's one of the scenarios that can come out that gives you a bad case. It's a complicated case because if you don't cut the green trend line, there is no new T formed. Okay, you can say you come up to the green line. That's what the rally is, Monday, Tuesday, and then you roll over. Well, you're going to go into some kind of a selling climax, and then you're probably going to cut the trend line. And so you're going to have this other T, and you're stuck with this other T, new short range T, that's going to interfere with this projection that goes up until August 26. The other way that that can come out, it can change the momentum zone, is that you get a rally that actually is stronger than you think due to some good news that comes out, like they've solved all the problems in Europe, or some government's going to take some new step that is, well, they believe the old step was right. And so you come up and you cut the green line and you make a T. That doesn't change the problem about the hierarchies of the forecast. It says it's a top. It means it's a top, but it's a little fuzzy on where the exact tops are. But the condition of the top is still given by these more important charts that preceded this one. What happens is that there's an outlet for the market, and that is that you make a T, but it collapses in the right side, which we call a bearish T. Now, Achilles asked the question, how do you know that's true? And the answer is that sometimes it's very difficult to do that, but in this case, double bottom T's, which is the 20th, are not known to have any errors in them. So what we would say is that if you do see a couple of really good days next week and you cut the downtrend line and you go up, sort of make the market overbought, that's the center post rally of a T that's going to collapse on you. The 1987 crash and the 1962 panic were all formed by having somebody was silly enough to give you a rally when there was no money available. And this is the case where you have a cash buildup phase indicated, but the cash buildup is not coming back to the market for a long time. And so it's technically true that there's cash on the sideline, but not enough of it is coming in to support the size of the T, and the T will collapse on you. So collapsing T's have a very negative connotation through history. On the other hand, if you just come up to the trend line and then you turn over, that has a negative connotation too. So, but it's different the way you analyze it. But you have to do the analysis in one way or the other. They fork off into two different directions, and you develop the forecast and the market behavior depending on which one you chose. But it's not a case of a good scenario and a bad scenario. That the bad scenario has already been frozen by the bigger T discussions. So you don't get that confused in you. If you have a really strong rally here, what does it mean? It means you get a better sell point. What does it mean? And if you get a worse, if you don't get up very far, well, it's still a sell point, but you didn't get maybe the prices that would have been as good one way or the other. So you really don't have many choices to. You have to make do with what you've got. The big question that comes up in the future is what happens, assuming that you go down from D into late June and you come up with a scenario. It's either going to be you have this big cash buildup phase because you didn't make a T, or you're likely to have made a T, but it's collapsing in the right side on you. And the forecast that you get for severity is depending on that, and it's fabulously interesting theoretically, but you really don't want to get involved in that stuff because it's just it goes back to the question of you look at the table, you're going to have a mess. The gold is best, and the bond, it's golden bonds, okay? And if you want to stick with the high yield. Not real high quality bonds, but like the capital and income or something like that. That's fine because they're going to get damaged, but it's not like they're getting damaged with the way stocks will get damaged. So you have to factor all that stuff in. So that's the best I can do on the short term picture until we get more data, and we'll get that. We'll be posting that Tuesday morning when we get to the other site. So. I hope that doesn't prove too complicated, but I think it's important to be able to take the short-term chart and put it into the perspective of some of these longer-term considerations with the decades going through and the seasonal thing, and getting that stuff straight so that when you walk into the short-term picture, you don't sort of oscillate between this could be a great scenario if you make a T, and it's not so great if you don't make a T. They can kill you either way. It's the long-term that's causing the T's to act funny. And so you don't want to place that much of attention on the short-term picture here, except it will tell you how to refine the forecast later on. Well, that's it, as we say, for this Sunday, and I hope you found that to be instructive. And, of course, we'll be back next Sunday, and Tuesday morning we'll be doing an update for whatever Monday's data was. Bye-bye.